Alrighty, guys, welcome to another episode of Australia's 400th most popular celebrant talk show. The other 399, we're coming for you. My name is Josh Withers, and joining us today is Sarah Aird, because I just can't get rid of her. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Mr. Withers. And no, you can't. And also, we've talked about guys.
Yeah. We've talked.
You said hi, guys. Yeah. We've talked about that. Yeah.
It's a thing, though. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, need to work hard on that. I know it's hard. Inclusive language is hard. We've talked about it. You have to work inclusive, the muscle.
We've so far excluded the third person who's joining us on the podcast. Look,
this lawyer over here is just going, I'm just going to leave this political correctness discussion over here. Discrimination Act just swimming around my head. It's fine, guys. It's fine. Look, I just want to say thank you. I was able to accept your invitation because I just finished my 399th podcast. For the other,
all the other celebrant talk shows.
Well, that's right. So, look, it's a real pleasure to be here, Josh.
Yeah, it's a hot market for celebrant podcasts. There's
it's a hot market for people that want to actually talk with lawyers. So, yeah, I get really honoured when people want to talk to me, and usually they try to avoid me.
Well, talking about avoiding you, let's not. Can you give everyone just a bit of a brief, like, intro? Who are you? And who are you? How do you introduce yourself at parties?
I am this mythical creature that's found herself on the 10th floor of the Grand Chancellor this morning. So, party at mine tonight, guys. Jokes. No, I shouldn't publicise that. I haven't got my COVID management plan and I haven't done my COVID marshal training yet, guys, so maybe not into the hotel room. But anyway... So I'm a lawyer. I've been a lawyer for 17 years. I specialise in the area of corporate, commercial and employment law. However, I have seemed to have kind of moved into the niche of wedding and events most recently. There's a link there, though. I worked in, or my husband and I up in Broome in the remote but destination wedding central. That's controversial. But it's very, very commonplace. Weddings, brand an events company. So there was this real synergy between what I was doing in law, but also in the event space. But my history is pretty lengthy, not my criminal record. I've managed to stay out of trouble there. But I've been in-house internationally, but now sit in the heart of Barossa Valley, where is actually a lot of weddings. But yeah, I run a practice out of Angaston, but do actually have clients all around Australia.
Well, I was going to disclose Sarah. Sorry, but Catherine is serving me as well. So, just so everyone.
Yes.
I feel like we should disclose things like that.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm not entirely sure.
I'm actually not allowed to tell anybody who my clients are. So, self-disclosure there, Josh.
I'm not entirely sure we actually introduced Catherine properly. This is Catherine Adams from Hallett Law. In South Australia.
I went with mythical creature in a hotel room.
But yeah, just in case anybody's wondering, those of you who are in South Australia might be very aware of Catherine's work in the Unbridly Suppliers Group. She's been an amazing source of information and expertise. Expertise in that group. And I've been telling everybody to call you since March. So sorry.
Sorry.
When people ring me,
maybe it's all these calls that make me afford to be in really nice hotel. No jokes. This they give me a good deal on an upgrade.
It is good. So I think, Josh and I wanted to get you on today to talk a little bit about the legal ramifications of COVID and the disaster that has been the last five or six months, and what that kind of has been looking like. You've really kind of fallen into this niche of taking care of us, which has been amazing of you. And we just wanted to get a bit more, some thoughts from you about, what it's kind of looking like from your perspective.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We were just before we got online, I was saying that, I was in Melbourne early, mid-March, kind of minding my own business and doing my usual. I was actually there for a tribunal matter, and that's when the Grand Prix was cancelled, and I was with my partner at the time just going, things aren't going to be the same, are they? And we cut it. We were on a plane on the way home, and it was just. I think even the Virgin stewardess was kind of lost for words, and I'm like, something's good here. And then, and then we started to filter through. There was this week almost of complete inertia where everyone was just like, if I don't move, I won't have to make decisions. And then it was bang. And weddings cancelled, events cancelled, weddings postponed, nervousness. And at that time, though I'd like to think that the governments are now well adjusted and have got a handle on how to deal with this situation, let's just follow that one up a little bit later on. But at that time, the government really was just in panic mode as well. And it went to crisis mode, and yeah, I don't know how. I developed a fantastic relationship with Camille Weber from Bradley Suppliers, and that whole group has just been an amazing support. And then I suppose my name probably spread just as fast as COVID did. And and then what happened was, is that because I was so intensely involved in a number of the disputes that were going on Australia wide, I really started to cotton on about where the areas of disputes were and the steps that we needed to take, particularly in our terms of service and also just our behaviour as your small to medium-sized business, to minimise the impact, but also to really, even in amongst the storm, look forward to go, well, how do I even take a booking? How do I even get my business moving again? And this is a weekly thing of adjusting. And I'm not just saying weekly from South Australian perspective, but I have clients all the way up, you know, Broome, all the way down to Phillip Island, Victoria. I have them across, you know, I even talk to celebrants in New Zealand. It's just extraordinary. It literally has been triaging, to use the medical term.
Well, what's your general kind of read on, like, so you've kind of walked into the industry at the worst possible time, but I'm sure you've got a really fresh read on the state of celebrants and just wedding vendors and in general, obviously generalizing across everyone you're kind of talking to and hearing their stories, like what's your read on the industry?
So look, if I I've got to be really careful here because Harry Hindsight, my favourite guy, right? If I had I wish that the biggest thing, if I could bottle Hindsight and sell it, I tell you what, I'd be on the 25th floor of a hotel somewhere, probably in the Bahamas, but no, they don't have to be. So my understanding about the wedding industry is that because of the actual nature of the ceremony and the love and the connection and the creativity involved and the almost the lightheartedness and the close relationships with everybody in the industry, it didn't have that level of legal governance to withstand the force of, I suppose, that hurricane that came its way. Now, that said, though, for me coming in and going, all right, guys, you need to just sort these terms and conditions out, there's a hesitation there because I don't want to change the nature of the – well, at first I can't. I'm only one person. But I it's very hard to make people's business serious when you are all involved in creating a beautiful thing, to harden up an industry that – and also the diversity of the industry as well. So what might actually work for your celebrant might not work for your large venue, which might not then work for your florist who's working with, you know, a disposable product, or a photographer where there's intellectual property. Not necessarily the terms and conditions that could withstand, but I also need to take into account that we have, I hate this word, I'm going to use two words really regularly and I'm going to loathe it, unprecedented, and then we're going to pivot. So it's just basically, you know what I'm talking about, Sarah, like, you know. So I've had to pivot people in this very unprecedented, but it's been unprecedented. And even if I was in another industry, I'm wondering whether I'd be saying the same thing. Did your terms and conditions and your business practices, were they ever going to be able to withstand? But there's just some nuances about that one day, 15 suppliers involved in that one day, contractually connected, and then also that emotional blast that it has when things go wrong.
It's so interesting that you've picked up on that, because there are a lot of celebrants who have never had a contract because, but what we do is different. and what I, it's so personal and it's such a personal relationship. And I could not possibly put a business relationship on top of that. Yeah, you could. And you should.
Well, you get to hang out with me for a couple of months thereafter. Yeah. Like, yeah. Which
and I think it's I think it's also something that I've noticed a lot from the things that you've been posting in particular, but other conversations that I've had as well, is that a lot of wedding suppliers have made up their own contracts and are now discovering that they're not really worth the paper they're written on, because it's not a matter of just having a contract that both people sign. It has to be fair and reasonable.
Yes.
That good chestnut, a fair and reasonable.
That good old fair and reasonable. Don't unjustly enrich yourself. So, yes and no. So there's a lot of things that I, look, again, Harry Hindsight, right? I love going, oh, you know, you should have had these fabulous. We all don't have luxury to go to commercial corporate lawyers and pay our couple of, a few hundred or thousand or whatever. And also, like, how long, like, how creative do I need to be with, I come do your wedding, you pay me money, you go and live happily ever after. So, you know, yes, but we have this COVID situation where we're like, I wish I'd had that clause. There's a couple of things that I saw. So firstly, a lot of people had taken American terms across.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
So, well, yeah, but it seems to make sense. And again, I have to be really careful of because having access to a lawyer is something that I see as a privilege, unless you're forced to in a dispute. But to have an advisory lawyer is still a privilege. So, you know, or they'll sign up to, so photographers, a photography forum or a photography website that that may have, it may be American, but then you also have the cut and paste from your competitors, and then you like make your own little amendments, and then you have, and I've got to be really careful here because you can also just get those standard templates that just don't contemplate that those nuances. And so my experience now is to dive in with those nuances of weddings. But what I've also realised is that if somebody comes to me and goes, oh, I didn't have terms, I'm like, hold, it's good. Well, it's good or bad. Tell me what's going on, because I might actually be in the position of rathering you not have terms than have the pile of words that you've got on your website that that could actually be a detriment. And there's some legal issues in this is when I start to get sexy, doctrine of frustration, you know, force majeure. Force majeure, is that French? It's probably about the only French I know. I don't know. Voulez-vous coucher? Anyway, that's it. All right, so is that, do you want to sleep with me tonight?
Yeah.
I digress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you know, was I ever going to be talking, like, if you fast forward 12 months, if you'd have been like, oh, you know, Catherine, you're going to spend the next 6 months of 2020 talking about doctrine of frustration, you'd have been out of your mind. Like, so sometimes those areas of law, I would actually prefer you not to have. Those kind of things can actually be a lot easier if you don't have that dumpster fire of a little paragraph in you. So, I suppose one of the lessons that I have learned is I have not been able to adopt an industry-wide position on a matter or the way. So, the only thing that I've been able to adopt is the legislation, how that's read, but disputes, I can't. The first thing I say is send me your terms if you've got them. If you don't, tell me your story. So as an industry, I think it almost wants, well, I suppose it's been frightened to want to gravitate to a level of seriousness. But I also say to people kind of just quietly, I've got these wonderful set of terms, but if they're not you, let me show you the places where I can make them you. Josh, you'll know. Hey, Josh, can you make this clause more Josh? Just make that look. You do the more Josh, and then you come back to me and see if it reads Josh, but also reads what Catherine wants. I don't want to negate the beautiful ceremony that you guys need to be focused on. Because some of the best outcomes that I've achieved over the last couple of months has been actually the retention of the client. So pulling the matter out of the dispute and actually salvaging it so that beautiful experience can, because nothing can implode a beautiful experience than lawyers getting involved. We're not beautiful experienced people.
Yeah, that's...
I haven't gained an extra invite to a wedding recently.
Like, it really says something like if Sarah and I are like, hey, Sarah, you want to catch up for a coffee? I'm like, yeah, cool. Oh, cool. My lawyer's coming as well. We're like, what does that mean?
It's a little bit different, yeah.
Just as I say, like, this is why I'm sitting alone in a cold, dark hotel room. You know,
will someone please invite Catherine somewhere?
I think.
I promise I'll be the COVID marshal. Right, just invite me. I'll take it.
Australia is the only place with COVID marshals at the moment. So, good luck with that. We don't have that here yet, but, we can't leave our houses. So don't be too excited. Yeah.
Okay, so can we go into... legislative interpretation.
I actually just wanted to go back a little bit about that whole doctrine of frustration, force majeure, blah blah blah. My feeling, no, just because I feel like a lot of our clients have a little bit of knowledge, which is all that they're hearing these terms, probably, and they don't really know what they mean, and that's much more dangerous than them actually having the full force of the law behind them, because they're turning around going, the contract is frustrated. They don't really know what that means.
No, I actually
thought. But the vendors are getting frightened by that language.
Yeah. So there's nothing more frightening than a bride that knows doctrine of frustration, all right?
Or, but even just knows the words.
No, I'm saying she knows. I'm not saying understands. Let's just be clear here.
Yeah,
knows. But that's fine, because I'm even having to educate some of my learner colleagues to remind them of doctrine of frustration, because one of the hardest concepts to prove in law court is that a contract has been frustrated. So now, doctrine of frustration is the old, like, let's just blow off the dust of this little mechanism that we've got. And I think I said before, I don't think I would ever have even talked about this, but you do if you're a contractual commercial lawyer on a regular basis for that reason, but just in general. Now, doctrine of frustration basically says, look, if a contract cannot be fulfilled, if the contract has become such a complete impossibility, then what it does is, Josh, you've heard this, so it's the same little metaphor I use, a bomb drops, right? The contract just visualise pieces of paper just going up into the air and it falls down. And we have what's called the result of doctrine of frustration is loss lies. Loss falls where it lies. In other words, too bad, so sad, all right? So if... celebrant's here with $2,000 in his hand, loss lies where it falls. Now, two things. Firstly, it doesn't just stop there, because depending on what state you are in, there might have been legislation coming in going, yeah, that doesn't seem too fair. And look, rightfully so, probably doesn't. That doesn't seem too fair. So what they do is they've slotted in legislation that says, okay, well, loss lies where it falls, but as long as it falls, pretty equitably, we're good. Or if you don't have that legislation, loss falls where it lies where it falls. And then we have the old, even older doctrine, dust off, of unjust enrichment. So as long as one of the parties is not so grossly unrich by holding that 2,000, then we cool. Now, then we dive straight back into that, has it really been a frustrated event? Again, it is a huge test to prove to a court that a contract is a complete impossibility. So bride and groom have a big wedding planned, bridegroom, 100 people. Wedding photographer comes in. Oh, well, the contract's frustrated because we can't have the wedding. But can you? Because wedding is... two people, two witnesses, celebrant. What part of the contract is frustrated? Because I'm the photographer. I can come and take photos with you. What's frustrated? And then the bride and groom will be like, oh, but it's just making it an impossibility. But is it? Because impossibility and the legislation and the case law says is that it can't be an inconvenience. It can't be a change of mind. It can't be even economic hardship. So to tick the box of frustration, I can't even argue that that my bride and groom, if I'm acting for them, which I don't, but if I do, but if they go ahead with the wedding and they've solidly booked 200, but the wedding venue only allows two extra or whatever, I can't. That contract can't be fulfilled. No, it doesn't work like that. It has to be an impossibility. Here's an example of an impossibility. Bride, group, groom, they book a wedding photographer who lives across the border. What a wedding photographer simply can't get to the wedding. Impossibility. So there's been a real misconception of, so all people are hearing is, oh, well, COVID, it's a frustrated event, it's a pandemic, and so I'm forced to cancel my wedding, which means the contract is null and void, I'll have my money back. Well, firstly, no frustration doesn't mean you automatically get your money back. But secondly, it's not really cancelled, is it? It's a change of mind.
Yeah, it's postponed. It's postponed.
And then you're like, hang on a minute, it's postponed, but my contract doesn't even say you can postpone. So I'm sorry, but it's a non-refundable booking fee. It kind of is what it is. Oh, but then you're unjustly enriching yourself. Ugh. Liquidated damages. Oh, yeah, look. So my advice to anybody that is having that come at them is, firstly, has it been? Has it become an impossibility? And also be careful that they're like, oh, but COVID is... So my wedding is October, and so COVID's going to keep causing problems, and so it's frustrated. There has to be – the event hasn't even happened to be frustrated yet. So it's been a nice little interesting little area to argue, but it has to be discussed and dealt with on a case-by-case basis, because there's all those little factors that play in. But my advice to anybody that is being faced with a bride or groom saying that it's frustrated, therefore they get their money back. Firstly, is it frustrated? Is it even frustrated? And secondly, what makes you think frustration means you get your money back?
Yeah, totally.
Mm. Yeah. One of the things that I've been saying when it says, well, you've been unjustly enriched, therefore I get my money back, I'm like, no, hang on a minute. All right, before we buy into you holding $2,000 of the bride and groom's money to be frustrated, let's have a look to see whether you've actually worked for some of that $2,000 already.
Yeah.
And so particularly for celebrants, you know, a month out you're doing documentation. You're probably already talking about the vows, and you've given them a rundown of what they need to do from a legal perspective. You might have helped them with ID, citizenship, visa, just so much going
so
on.
So much.
Not to mention the, you know, 20-second email that they've sent. So I'm just like, hang on a minute, before you get you even too frightened about this unjust enrichment, let's talk about whether or not you are unjustly enriched, because you look at what has been spent before this has happened. But you also even then, now it's getting exciting, liquidated damages. So how many people have you actually had to turn around and say, I'm sorry, but you're the 23rd person that's booked 10th of the 10th, 2020. I'm sorry, I can't take that booking on.
Yeah.
Oh, this is why I have no friends and a boyfriend.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. And I just
get like, I'm super passionate about being a lawyer after 17 years. And this is just like, it's really been the real guts of the fight.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the discussions that I'm having with celebrants in particular, because that's who rings me, is about record keeping. And can you show what work you've done?
Yeah.
You know, and so having a CRM, you know, having a customer relationship management system that stores your emails, that stores that you can leave notes in about, phone discussions or other things, file notes, all those sorts of things. You know, a friend of mine had somebody ring her, back in March or April. They wanted their money back. She's like, you've changed your date a bunch of times. You know, I've written a script for you. Oh, but we didn't like the script. Yeah, but I've done the work. Like, just because you didn't like it doesn't mean
it's like somebody saying to me, thanks for your legal advice, your high-level legal advice.
I don't
We're not
like
paying
it.
You because we don't actually like it. I get that a lot.
And in her CRM, she could track that they had exchanged 56 emails.
Yeah.
And I was like, you've got all of this records, all of this information to back up that you've done the work to earn that money. Mm-hmm. So no.
Yeah, look, can I just say there's a couple of things that will certainly help in those situations, as you're right, a good CRM, good record keeping. But also when you do have your terms and conditions, set your scope of services really clearly so that you can, you know, put your foot down on doing – or, you know, so you can actually say my scope of services included those A to – it's not just the day. It's not the wedding ceremony. It's – celebrant services leading up to as well as the day for, because I spend a lot of time in contractual disputes, incidentally, and a lot of it also has come down to the contractual drafter hasn't really described what they're getting their money for. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you might want to start doing from a business perspective when you do have those wonderful, beautiful terms, is to go, I want to just stop talking about my one day and I want to talk to you about the lead up. I mean, you guys kind of do lead up already because you've got that 1 month, but I'm talking from the minute that phone call rings me the first time, the time slot, you know, you put your card in to start earning money. That said, it is so hard to shift your client's mind when they are solely focused on the day. And also remember, my position has to change depending on what kind of supplier you are, because if you are a cake maker, then you are doing work just only those couple of days. Well, you are doing ingredients, your marketing and all that kind of thing, but the big lumpy type of work is prior to the day. You're not there really on the day other than to deliver. Wedding planners, like trying to get money back from wedding planners after they've styled, discussed colours, wedding dressmakers, like I've literally cut out the design, I've drafted it. What do you mean work hasn't been performed?
Yeah.
Can we have a next discussion about using the word deposit versus?
Yeah.
Yes, well, please. Yeah.
That's a great
one. Because we are getting.
I want to start a revolution, probably from my bed.
We get
Wait,
different.
Is that Oasis?
Yes.
God, I'm good. Josh, move over, mate.
It's all yours.
I've spoken to a number of lawyers about this, and we get different.
Do you hang out with us a lot?
Sorry, absolutely. Joking. Yeah. My mum's a lawyer. I get different advice everybody I speak to. So I would love to hear your view on deposits, retainers, booking fee,
I'm team booking fee. Definitely not team deposit. And when what I do is I firstly, my legal brain dives into legal realm and I like, can I wade through all the issues there? But then what I do is I step out and go into Google realm and I go, what is the definition of deposit? So actually, let me just, and I looked at the Google dictionary. What is the definition of deposit? So sum payable for first installment on the purchase of something or a pledge for a contract, payable later, pledge. So placed somewhere for safekeeping, all right? So I think that there is this haziness of, well, I'm going to deposit $20 in my bank and then once I need that money, I can withdraw it. You're like, give me an amen. Absolutely, yeah. So I'm just like, no. You're not holding it on their behalf. You're actually claiming it as yours. And the extraordinary amount of times I've had to explain to even lawyers that when your client expressly signs a document with a term that says that something's non-refundable, I don't know how, like, it's the vibe, it's Mabo, it's constitution that we can go with this. Like, it's you know, we've all done contracts 101 in our first year that says that if you expressly agree to a term, kind of mean it. However, that is vague when you are calling it a big heading of non-refundable deposit, which is just a mesh of not really. It is, yeah. So you know what? Just scrap this deposit. Or if it's a deposit, let it be a deposit. And if it's a deposit, keep it in a bank account where you don't it don't just get spent. So I really want a direction of booking non-refundable booking fee backed up by here are my services. kind of not joking when I say non-refundable. And then, of course, all your little clauses that say, okay, well, if you are going to postpone, what is transferable? Look, it's yeah. But yeah, so retainer, I'm a little bit on the fence there. I am retaining you. I'm retaining you. But if I don't need you, I will let you go. So I'm not even satisfied because, again, I can legally argue something, but in the minds of the contracting party, you can certainly assist by being very clear.
Yeah.
And, you know, in your drafting of your non-refundables, you say even more so, you know, this non-refundable fee is for the purposes of the work performed, you know, before, you know, here, as well as liquidated damages for if you do turn around and say you don't want me, it helps me not suffer the blow of having to turn the 15 people down that have come after you and said no.
So can we revisit that a little bit, the liquidated damages thing? Because the whole thing about, well, I'm taking this amount of money because I can't take another booking for that date. Mm. I've set this aside for you. And if you cancel, I won't be able to take another booking at that late moment. Mm. So I need to get paid for putting aside that. I mean, is there legislation around that? Has that been tested? Do we know if that would stand up?
Massively tested. I mean, liquidated damages. I mean, you go to any kind of contract, a construction contract, IT contract, is if you say something as a liquidated damages at the start of the contract, it is an acceptance of the two parties that loss is real, that it is likely. So you don't just then go dive in and go, oh, yeah, but it's not really liquidated damage because there's still room. No, the intention of the parties at the signing of the contract is that if you pull out, that is a reasonable assessment of what possibly could be a loss. There's no argument beyond that. Mm. Intention of parties at start.
Yeah.
And that said, you can't go, oh well, you know, my liquidated damage, and this enters into a new discussion about, oh well, I'm going to set a 60% of the full fee as my booking fee, and that's liquidated damages. No, you're not going to get away with that. Your liquidated damages has to be measurable and proportionate to the loss that you will suffer if they pull out. Does that make sense? So you can't get away with putting a whopping liquidated damages because that's probably not a very realistic assessment of what your damages will be. But you can agree to liquidated damages, then have ample opportunity to find someone. But you've agreed here that was the deal. Yeah. Very hard to move away from contractual agreements at time of contract because you've assessed that loss at the time of contract.
I think that I've been very lucky. I've been concentrating on my training work this year, so I only had a handful of weddings booked in and they've all been really reasonable.
Mm.
But I get phone calls most days from colleagues who are not so lucky.
Not doing so
and
good.
And so such a lot of them, the argument that they're getting from their couple is, but this is an unexpected, like, yes, I agree to that because I didn't know this was going to happen.
But who would have ever known?
Nobody knew it was going to happen. That's
we also have doctrine of frustration and force majeure clauses that deal with instances that you don't expect, like pandemics. But remember, regardless of whether something you expected or not, can I use a really awful analogy?
Please.
Wedding vows is a contract. Now, if I break up with my husband 5 or 6 years later, imagine me pulling that argument. Well, that was unexpected. Ooh. So I know I agreed back then, but there's something unexpected happened here. The contract's not binding. Well, I think it's a pretty impressed with that analogy, actually.
That's quite
good.
You
know what I mean? Like you, the whole point of entering into a contract is to set the parameters of what you expect, right? And so the law will want to put you into the place if the contract had been come into fruition. So, yeah, look, I plenty of things in life don't go to plan. But, honey, just because Nana can't come to your wedding because she's in Tasmania and you're in Victoria, I've got to be really careful there. I'm being a bit facetious because I think one of the biggest things that you will get out of having any kind of meaningful discussion with a very unhappy client is to firstly not ridicule them. I can just do that quietly. But
And we do it amongst ourselves, but we wouldn't do it to the client.
No. So some of the instances where I've seen absolutely go, pants up is the, some not so great customer service. But I'm not dealing with, if you think about the sheer density of the clients that I have, I really am dealing with a supplier that will have one or two. I hear it so often that, I've actually been really lucky. It's like not really lucky, actually. Your industry has been, when you have an industry that's worked on good faith for so long, that good faith doesn't disappear because cracks happen. So I actually speak to most of my clients that go, I've actually been pretty lucky. I think the thing is that it's the density of the people that have had that one, two bad clients that thinks that the industry is in this crisis. I actually think it's in crisis because of the lack of ability to plan rather than the immense amount of disputes. It's almost like you think you know your boyfriend's about to break up with you, but you don't know. Like he's starting to freeze you out, bit kind of like that. I think it's the anxiety of the industry of being fueled and the environment that the business is working in at the moment, where it's just inertia and fear, and people act differently in those circumstances.
Can we talk about that customer service piece a little bit? Because I know that a lot of my colleagues are getting this. Oh, but I've lost my job, so can't you give me the money back because, I need to feed my kids. We've lost our jobs too. But it's really hard to bite back with that argument because you do want to be having good customer service you don't want to kind of throw that back in their face. But at the same time, you kind of want to go, be reasonable.
I'm just seeing some extraordinary circumstances. So firstly, I think it's that fairy tale element that comes with weddings where this is your special day. And I also think it is that whole, it all happens on this day and whatever the background noise is that creates that day is not my business. I just turn up and look amazing and have the best day of my life. And so all of a sudden it's, this is not how I want it to be. This is awful. So I think the first thing is, always, always show empathy for your client, right? But I actually, in March, April, saw some emails because everybody was so stunned and frightened, wrote, but we don't have your money to give back. delete that. Because you do, you have to. But Michelle Obama had this amazing saying of when they go low, we go high. And that is, you're going to be dealing with some pretty cooked up behavior here, but go high. I appreciate and I understand that this is not how you wanted your day to proceed, but I need you to acknowledge that this is the work that I have done. And you also need to acknowledge that there was a contract for provision of services or provision of product. I take my business seriously so that you can have an amazing day.
I think that's spot on. I acknowledge that this is not how you wanted it to be.
I'm just going to quickly, I did a awesome essay woman. I did a blog for them about how they are to handle conflict. And the first is five steps is, firstly acknowledge. Or breathe, listen. Listen, let them tell you how awful. Let's tell them how Nana's dying and Nana can't breathe on a ventilator, that their dog's passed away, and just listen. Just listen, okay? Don't nod or just go, okay, yep. I hear you. I acknowledge that this is an incredible time. Now, this is the key. Don't fire back a response straight away. Even I, as a well-skilled dispute creator, resolver, jury's out. Anyway, the negotiator in me, I have dropped the ball a couple of times and I've seen a direct result, and that is I have fired something back too quickly. So just go, I acknowledge it and I'm treating this with the seriousness it deserves. So what I want you to do is just give me the next 24, 48 hours just to consider your position, and I will come back. And then what you do is go, okay, well, what is the argument I want to run at them? like, well, you're being unreasonable. I've worked for this. You've pushed my boundaries and you've also been really horrible. And then what is your best alternative to that solution? And just have that in your armor as well. But, yeah, breathe, acknowledge, extract whatever empathy you can find about, you know, Doris's nana. But we don't have the money to do this anymore. Grates on me. It's like instructing me to act as your lawyer, but then say to me afterwards, I don't actually have the money to pay you to have gone and done this. It's very, very hard not to be offended by that. But also that said, in all legal matters, I say, what is your relationship with this person? Do you want to retain it? You guys are in an interesting situation because what is their chances? Well, probably quite high in this society, but is your business model repeat service? It's not.
Not generally.
No. It's not. But what you guys do rely on is word of mouth. So, it's not necessarily that you have to be kind to them because you want their business forever or more, but you do have to take into account and so, your resolution has to always take into account that. One thing that I also want to clear up as well on that whole, well, I'm trying to run a business and I'm absolutely broke and this is killing me. Be careful not to adopt an industry-wide position. So I've had people go, oh, well, you know, these three suppliers have given back their money and now I'm in a rock and a hard place because they want their money back and are using that as fuel. No. We all run our own businesses. We all have different services. Never feel pressured about other people's giving in on contracts because at the end of the day you have to put money. We have to put food on your kid's table or your cat food in the bowl. It's probably more me.
I think that's really important, though, because a lot of the clients are using that as leverage. Oh, but the venue gave me more money back, so why can't you?
Yeah.
Different. And just because they've decided to give in doesn't mean I need to.
Yeah. But then also still, you know, using that word, well, did they give in? I don't know. What contract did you have with them?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I you're comparing apples to oranges here. So, and I'm also not in the job nor am I a lawyer to review their terms and conditions. But what I do know is you signed these.
Yeah.
And so I am obliged to consider what I signed with you, if you did at all. And let's go from here. Because I provided you 18 emails, yes, and so on. So, Josh,
Catherine.
Sarah and I are like just.
Yeah,
you know.
Sorry. Josh just put his hand up.
I know it. Like,
Josh, what?
I don't want to be the guy that just talks over everyone, but I've got a question.
No, that's me. I'm the person that talks over. I've made a fatal flaw, and I have to go put my phone on my computer on charger. So I'm going to go take. I had to do a little bit of. Just in my cleavage. Sorry, awkward.
Totally fine. It's totally fine.
That's the raunchiest the celebrant institute's ever got. That was. You have to.
You mean this is not the dating podcast?
Okay, you have to put an MA rating on this one.
Now so, Josh is lost for words. He's like, and I just nearly saw Catherine's breasts.
Really, I've got a really simple question, which I know isn't simple, but
I love simple questions.
I ask it from two different angles. One is that a lot of people in the wedding industry have chosen to not have a service contract or they haven't invested in one that you would say is okay.
I like the way that you're using the word invest because
there's that angle, and then there's the other angle, which is just like, this is just a funny thing, but it plays into the question. So 60 Minutes, the TV show in Australia, it's shown on Channel 9 but it's owned by CBS, and CBS owns Channel 10. And I was just talking to a friend who works at Channel 10. I said, isn't it weird that like Channel 10 owns 60 Minutes, but it's on Channel 9? He's like, oh, it's on a contract. And as much as I get that, I feel like my gut vibe over the last 6 months is like, oh, contracts mean bugger at all. So the question to you is like what is a contract for? And like what does it kind of do? Like
No, it's actually not, because I am giving some very, very solid legal advice directly to opposing solicitors, where we have all, hopefully, passed tests to be told what we, you know, our education says. And I'm still walking into tribunals because they just don't like the answer. The clients don't like the answer. So my belief in contracts are unshakable because I'm, you know, down a long way of it all working out. But the purposes of a contract is to set in stone at the time that parties meet the parameters and the expectations and the services for which you perform for the money that you're going to get. Now, unfortunately, we have to that contract is going to be read in court. At the moment, when all of this is still simmering and the pressure's on, we go, well, what is the chances of this going to court? Do I want it to go to court? Do I want to, like, go those 10 months down the track of, or actually at the moment the courts are absolutely jammed, so you wouldn't even get your first listing date. You guys, given the level of services and the amount, you know, small claims kind of area, long waiting lists, ultimately your contract is so that if it ever gets tested in court, that is the boundaries for which the court is asked to consider. Now, this actually isn't a straightforward question, Josh. I'll give you that. It's my, you know, the legal brain in me says you absolutely need that contract. Remove courts, remove arguments. It's the setting of the expectations. But it can also be the document that assists you in the dispute resolution of it. So, one of the tactics that I've been using with my clients is, look, my contract doesn't really allow for this, but how about on a good faith basis, I will give you XYZ in return for XYZ. So it can actually be the setting of the bar for you to negotiate. Does that make sense? So one of the things that I'd be facing is that all of these suppliers are like, I need new terms, Catherine. And then they're like, can I, like, impose them on old clients? I can, like, you know what I mean? Like, can I go back to the 50 people that have signed the old ones? And then a lot of my answers is, well, the typical response is, well, that depends, because that's just everything that lawyers say. Well, it's all, you know, depends on the facts of the situation. But, you know, if your old terms don't allow you to amend them unilaterally, then there's going to be a very strong chance that I'll say, you know what, no, you're not going to be able to. But the minute they want to start moving the goalposts of the original contract, you can be like, it doesn't allow for it, but I will allow postponement. But the condition of that is that you sign this wonderful new set of terms here. You know what I mean? So it is. It might not be your everlasting thing. It could be actually be your negotiating point. But I can certainly say that the legal view of that is, no, I'm sorry, contract's contract. Same with, like, when you say non-refundable booking fee, I don't really know where else to go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been really amazed at how many of my colleagues have had letters from lawyers that say, well, we don't care that it says non-refundable.
But they're going to probably running the frustration argument. Well, the contract is not in existence. So so the only time that I will ever take that seriously of non-refundable booking fees in a genuine frustrated event, and we've already spoken about that, about, well, even if it is frustrated, loss lies where it falls, and let's look at what you've worked for. So even then, with a frustration, your non-refundable booking fee is still not refundable.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I'll entertain a non-refundable booking fee to ever be refundable is if frustration allows. And remember, my view is that it is a very, very hard, like, people are like, oh, but weddings are being stopped in Victoria right now, for example. Well, yeah, but they might not be in January when you're booking.
Yes, that's it.
So, and the law won't allow for that. They're like, well, hang on a minute. Has it been made impossible? Not yet.
No.
You know what I mean? So, be careful you don't fall into that trap of frustration as well. Is, oh, but my booking is in February, Valentine's Day. Well, that's nice. I'll talk to you in a week from Valentine's Day. Or if a month out, where the government's made it clear that the rules will not be changing until such date, anything before that. Impossible. Yeah. So, don't fall into the trap of impossible. You know, mere inconvenience, financial hardship, being sad about it is not.
Or also being different from what you had originally planned.
Ah, yes.
You know, just because the rule is now that you can only have 100 people and you want to have 300 doesn't mean it's impossible.
Spot on.
It just means it's different.
Yeah. Well, try even this. What we're going on in South Australia at the moment. Well, hang on a minute. I always envisaged that my wedding could you could actually dance and drink at the same time. I'm sorry, but hang on a minute. I never wanted a wedding. Well, you can have the wedding.
Mm.
It can go ahead. It's just not going to be the wedding. And I feel for brides right now. Yeah, there was legislation that came out last night where I just, like, wanted to just go down to the bar and toss, like, a whole bottle of tequila down my throat. It is the South Australian government saying, all right, we're going to allow one dance for the bride and groom, but you have to choose it to either be at the ceremony or at the reception. And I'm like, I want off this ride.
Yeah.
Get me off this ride.
Come on, you gotta like embody the Kevin Bacon inside of you and push through.
Honestly, I'm new to this kind of thing, but who actually has a dance at a ceremony?
No, like it can happen, but
it's not a thing. It's
a very non-white thing.
Yeah, I don't. It's interesting. So culturally, that's actually a really good point. I didn't actually think about that. I don't even want to get into the whole democratic, you know, we live our lives as citizens, but let's just reflect on the fact that we had legislation last night come out and say, and then also it becomes the person's responsibility who's in the care, control and management of the ceremony to enforce. Guess who that might be, guys? You.
Yeah. It's tough.
So all of us, I want off this ride. I've never wanted off until last night. It's been a good 6 months where I thought, oh, this is like, I'm done.
I 100% understand that. Like I think, I don't know if I've said it in this podcast. I think I might have said it to you, Catherine, but like I became a celebrant for all the best parts of celebrancy. Like,
oh, you did, when I first met you, you said it. Like, yeah, what the heck? I never signed up for this.
There's so much goodness in being a celebrant and just being in a wedding event, like so much awesome goodness. And yeah. I didn't sign up for 2020. Like 2020 was not on the ticket.
No,
not at all.
No. I had a meme like, it's like, all right, guys, I'm only 3 mental breakdowns to go before Christmas. We are good. So, but, yeah, you're right. But I also tapped into that in our earlier discussion, Josh, where you're like, the wedding industry was never supposed to be about disputes about, because I'm also now seeing this convergence of the wedding industry was like, we are in solidarity, we can do this, we have got this, we've got to hang in together. It's been such an arduous, you know, particularly in South Australia, where the legislation is now splintering the industry, where all of a sudden venues can't have weddings, but a house can pile 100 people in. And so you've got all the suppliers going, yay, they still want flowers and they're still going to want a photographer. And then you've got the venues going, are you serious? What?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. So you've got actually a large room where 100 people will be safe, not to mention my liquor license, where if I screw up, I've got way more to lose. But don't worry, guys, you pile into that Airbnb, you have your 100 people that are dancing and drinking, and you just have a great old time. So yeah, what we are seeing before was that real rock solid, we're in this together industry because it's the love of that one day. All of a sudden there does seem to be this splintering going on, and it's really hard to watch because when this is all done and dusted, I do, yeah. It's not outright brawls and hating people. It's just this tetchiness of,
I'm
glad you're celebrating this, but this is actually really not good news for me.
We've been seeing that in Victoria because we never really opened up, you know, like really out between our two waves, the biggest we got to was 20 people in a restaurant.
Yeah.
So we never really opened up.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of celebrants have been doing a lot of pivoting to provide, you know, amazing experiences with your couple, your witnesses and your celebrant.
Mm.
And the other suppliers are going, well, that's great for you, but what about us?
Yeah.
So we are getting a little bit of that here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really great for the celebrants, but what about the rest of us?
It's interesting though. Somebody said to me, because one of the things that's been really discussed is should the wedding have, should the industry have a peak body? So not just celebrants, but My answer is like, well, firstly, whoever wants to put their hand up for that. Yeah, but also, it's so hard. I can't imagine there ever being a peak body that has the ability to speak to someone something with such diversification.
Oh, so it would be services so hard.
Of small, medium-sized, large-sized business. You know, the commonality is that one day, yes, but, but that said, it has been a complete detriment, both state-based and Australia-wide, that there hasn't been one person to speak or a group of people that can represent. It's like, particularly in South Australia at the moment, we seem to be, you know, why I have to stay out of government legislation because lawyers, it's separation of powers, right? So lawyers do the law stuff and politicians do the politician stuff and we just leave them and then mock them behind the doors. But no, but I have actually even gotten a little bit vocally critical about this lack of singular information coming through. And we're actually having to dive into live telecasts of ministers going, hello,
Entire industry over here.
And so unfortunately, then the pressure comes back down to, you know, your industry leaders. Look, the only person that could probably be comfortable about giving advice on current legislation right now would be people like me that have very, very good professional indemnity insurance. Where if I do get it wrong, I'm protected, but it's a scary. Even today, I wrote something. Is like, look, my disclaimer is that I might be a lawyer, but that legislation's an absolute mess. So even I can't say with certainty that that's what it means.
Well, the people who are writing it can't say what it means. They've no idea.
No, you're ringing. My clients are ringing up the hotlines, and nothing. They're reading from a script, and
Catherine, can I ask about, I know that there's a whole other really nasty piece that's actually been going on for a long time, but it seems to have been amplified, and that is the threat of a bad review. If you don't give me my money back, I will leave a bad review on Facebook. And I have for a long time been quite vocal that wedding industry or any supplier should not be held hostage to the threat of a bad review.
Amen.
Because
thank
the
you.
Marketing...
I actually use the exact wording.
Yeah, the marketing people actually tell us that if you respond well to a bad review, it makes you look good.
And yeah, but it's also really real. Like Brit and I have turned off our reviews just for the month or three.
It's tough, right?
Just because like as you know, Catherine, like we've got enough people in tension with us.
Yeah. Now, can I say though, Josh, I don't want to go into specifics, but you particularly have a very, very interesting business model where you're going overseas and stuff, right? So let's just pass over that one and say, okay, so let's just go there. I am constantly perturbed. Is perturbed the right way?
Yep.
Disturbed, perturbed, either way, by the whole, it's all right, if you don't give us what you want, we'll just review you. Well, that, again, legal brain. You know what? It's fine. But there is usually reviews, they don't stack up in the court of law for defamation because they are considered to be opinions. Mm-hmm. So hence why, you know, people writing stuff on what if and review, you know, all of that kind of stuff is that you can say whatever you like because at the end of the day it's an opinion or a service. However, it can actually tick over to defamation if it is done with malice. Mm-hmm. That's a tricky thing to prove, but that's my legal brain. So, and also trying to get a defamation matter, off you go to the Supreme Court, so everyone throws around defamation. It's actually not the dream fairy tale legal concept that people think it is, but yeah, you have this threat of review, and I have had a situation where a client has had it in email where it says, if you do not give me my money back, I will create fake accounts and I will write reviews.
Who puts that in writing?
Well, yeah, okay. So, and my client comes to me, she goes, this is email. And I'm like, this is glorious. Because isn't that fantastic? Hi, Google, see this email. Now have a look at this in the context. So firstly, almost goad them into writing it in email. Okay, so just to be clear, you are going to write a review. Why would you do that? What are you planning to write? How can we, you know, and actually goad them? Well, I'm going to, you know, and then, okay, so and then you say, look, I understand and I'm accepting of a bad review, but I also, you know, I have about 50. You know, be nice. Like, I as I say, when they go low, go high. Look, I'm really sorry this happened. I understand that there may be a time I do get a bad review, but I've got 50 others and they might go, well, I'm going to make fake accounts. Bingo, bang, evidence. But Here's my view. Keep the emotion out of it. Get a bad review. It's awful. It sucks. It taps into that inner, oh my God, I'm not liked. I'm not good enough. I'm, you know, so all of that stuff. Go to your review. I'm sorry that this has been your experience. However, should you wish to discuss this further, please contact me here. And then what you do is you let it go. You don't, you know, do not tell your story back. Oh, but I just want to make it clear that you gave me this, you know, deposit and then I worked for it and you didn't give me back and then my lawyer can't. Just stop. Stop. Just go, I'm sorry that you feel this way. I acknowledge that you're unhappy with this situation. I'm sorry we couldn't come to a resolution here. If you do want to open up the lines again, here's my contact. Don't defend yourself on your review. That actually is like a red rag to a bull. Oh, what's this drama going on here? And then what you do is you call up your mates and say, bombard my Facebook with great reviews and let this thing drop into the history of reviews. Because I tell you what, a bad review that is malicious stands out like dog's bollocks.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's so it's so tempting. But I have even contacted my clients to go, hey, that response to a review, take it down. You know, take it down. Just go, I'm sorry you feel this way. So, yeah, look, and then we're like, oh, but then I have my little star. Let it go. Remember your brand. Remember your love for what you do. You know, this isn't a popularity contest. This is entering into a contract and delivering your great service time and time again. I mean, what I've been actually putting in my correspondence on behalf of clients is you chose me for a reason. Let me go and do that with the skills that I have and let's make that special day a special day. It is a little bit light and fluffy. It's not kind of really the area that I'm great at, but, you know, just stick with your brand. Stick with your brand.
And I think the objective is not always to retain the client, right?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. It's an industry where you do.
That's it. But yeah. Sometimes you just kind of go, you're just going to go, you know, this relationship has broken down to the point where I can't provide you with the beautiful day anymore.
Yeah.
So let's just cut our losses.
Well, that's right, because you're like, oh, but I want to postpone. Like, I don't really want you to. Like, me at your wedding is probably not going to be the greatest thing. So, yeah, if you're in that circumstance, then, you know, maybe suggest an alternative of you being there. But also, like, you know full well that they have no intention of rebooking you. If they've stated outright, well, we just want our money back because we've decided not to get married anymore because we can't afford it. No, I'm not going to bombard you with a huge amount of customer service in the hope that you one day change your mind. Mm. It's the reality. But that said, word of mouth, you just always, you know, carry that standard of customer service that you want to hold.
Definitely.
But, yeah, so, I know there's a couple of clients brides and grooms of some of my clients, I'd be like, you dodged a bullet there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really personal industry, hey. Like I've got a friend who was judging whether to get a refund back, and it's actually not even COVID related. It's just photographer unhappy with the photos, and I said, bro, like, there's no amount of money you can give them that'll love you anymore. You fulfilled the contract, just keep the money, and you know they already hate you.
Well, that's I'm not going to hate you less. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's right. As long as you've got the legal grounds to do that, really hate you, you find, well, even if you don't have the legal basis, they're still taking you to the tribunal, and so you're gonna have to invest a further day and a bit of legal fees to get them out of your life. I kind of throw a little bit of a disclaimer in there that if you don't particularly like them, and giving some money is going to get them to get out of your life as fast as possible, you might also want to think about that. But that does not mean to say that you endorse outrageously awful and behaviour that lacks basis, legal basis.
Now, Catherine, we wanted to talk to you before you go, and I feel like we've, I don't know how long we've been talking, we've mentioned service contract a few times, and Sarah and I are obviously advocates for having that definition of a relationship, and on the back of you dealing with so many wedding suppliers, you've gone and created, would you call it a product? Like you've created like a service contract.
Yeah. So I've teamed up with some people called Automio, New Zealand based. I can't even make a New Zealand joke because my parents are New Zealanders. So this is a bit awkward. I hate giving my money to the New Zealanders.
Well, what I love is that as Australians, like the Kiwis are some of the last people we can be genuinely racist to. And it's like, it's cool. It's good.
It's also like the wonderful generalizations which you think you can get away with. But that said, though, you can make a New Zealand joke and like it wouldn't be the first time they've heard it. So I'm in this really weird space where I can't bag them too much because I still actually need to get back into the country eventually to say hello to some family. But I tell you what, take no prisoners when they beat us at the rugby again. But anyway, so yes, I've teamed up with a group called Automio, who are just absolute champions, cutting edge of online automation solutions. And what I've realised is the sheer scale of the people that are coming at me for these terms, and they are quite unique terms because I've actually been able to utilise the disputes that have come about here to then this massive amount of intellectual property up here going, I know what went wrong in every single one of these circumstances. And then combined with my 17 years of contractual knowledge, I have gotten a very, very clear idea of the kind of terms. Now, I will never say my terms are bulletproof, all right? There is no such thing as a watertight contract. You've heard the last hour about how nothing is waterproof. But, yeah, so I've teamed up with these guys, and what I've done is they've kind of reached into my brain and listened to the kind of questions or all the questions that I would ask a client ordinarily. To get the information I need to draft the contracts that I want them to have. And so you go into a little program and you go through an interview and then huzzah, your terms and conditions. And it isn't just give you the answers, I give you models. So your postponement and cancellation model. All right, so how easy are you going to go here? So here's an option, What could work for you? And so it's almost like a choose your own adventure book. So I don't know, for those millennials, sorry, I don't even know if they exist anymore. But back in my day, you know, be like, well, if you want to go down this journey, you turn to page 25. If you want to, so these little clever people just have created this coding to take you through this web, and then out comes your terms. So I will officially be the first Australian law firm or even lawyer to put her hand up to say that she's niche in this area. The planned launch date is 1st of September. Last week, because of the sheer scale of the legislative changes that have gone on in South Australia, unfortunately, I hate doing this, but welcome to COVID, maybe put my schedule back a week. So what I'm hoping is that, so what I'm doing is I'm launching celebrants and wedding photographers and videographers to start with. The rest of the suppliers will then trickle through. So, florists, makeup artists, hairstylists, car hire, venues, wedding planners, cake makers, and it's going to be this online space. My business name is now confirmed. It's event law. It's going to be event law.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I've got the business name and the logo all ready to go. And it's just going to be this space where you can learn about your legals. I can do blogs. I'm also going to bring in some business advisors, financial advisors, and it's going to be this niche space which finally can, because of the nuances of events and weddings, people can go. So that's I'm great. Super excited by it. Automio was. They were just like, holy cow, like, look at your niche. That's crazy. Like, totally. Now, give me your product for free. They're like, no. Okay. Too far. But no, they're just, it's phenomenal. And I spent so many years resisting legal automation because I was like, you can't replace me. That's outrageous. You can't, like, you got a computer. And people hate automation because they're just afraid that their job's going to disappear one day. But what I didn't realise was that sheer amount of intellectual property, that unique, just by having been intensely involved with the industry and the different suppliers, that I now just get to go, into a computer system. And what it does, it stops the, you know, because Josh, you know, that to and froing of what do you think of my amendments?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can actually cater them as you go, because also at the moment I am backed up. So you'll come for me for your terms and I'm going to have to say to you, you're looking at a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe to get them done. You know, feedback, scheduling of meetings, this absolutely wipes it. You go in, pay terms, and you get 20 minutes for free on having a chat with me about how you feel about what's come out. Now, buy my product.
And look, automation isn't like 100% automation in most industries is probably like not that great. Like if if you look at food production, there's an element where it'd be like, I'd really like a chef to make this, or I'd really like a barista to make my coffee. Full respect to your computer or machine, but you're just not really cutting it. So 100% automation isn't really that healthy in so many industries. But like 70%, 80%, 90% automation, it's a little bit like Steve Jobs called the computer the bicycle for the mind. You know, it just allows you to go a bit further, like a bicycle. If I want to walk to the shopping center, I can get on a bike, and the bike is kind of like a form of automation. It's just
it's working smarter, not harder. And also, like, given my raging workaholism anyway, I imagine that once I work smarter, I probably will work harder anyway. So let's just deal with that elephant in the room. But also I was so resistant because my whole point of difference as a lawyer is I'm a little bit different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not your average pinstripe suit. I'm jovial. I'm, you know, whatever. And I didn't want that element taken away. I because my interaction, my empathy, my connection with my clients, just something that I really – but this is just going to be working smarter so that my content, my, you know, the stuff you do want to hear from me, rather than me working in a deep dark room with you know, papers up to my neck, it releases that. You still get that same quality of work, but that, you know, it's what's going to work faster for clients, but you're also going to then benefit from me having more time to produce your free content and, you know, all of that kind of. So,
and you also have built up such an incredible amount of knowledge in this space over the last 6 months that now so many more people are going to be able to access.
Yeah. So you won't have to have ever been in a dispute to then enjoy the fruits of my labor, I suppose. Yeah, I'm sorry, but all the people that have been in disputes, just consider yourself as taking one for the team. but cheers, guys.
We are the diggers. We are the diggers that brought freedom to our nation. We went to war so that you can have freedom.
You went to war so you can have an online niche database run by Catherine Adams. So, yeah. Don't worry, guys. Catherine's now in the Bahamas thanks to you guys. She's retired early. No. But to be honest, like, I've even used the analogy of battlefield, Josh, like we might laugh, but yeah, it's been a really, but then also too, but also I didn't just magically appear here. 17 years of being a commercial corporate focused lawyer who's also been in private practice. I've dived into in-house and legally advised companies on their own, corporate governance, it all just plays in. The legal knowledge is there, but the being able to then extract it into a niche has just been, and also like I love working with creative people, and I'm sorry, but there's not much creativity in law other than maybe some legal arguments that come your way. You're like, oh, let's be creative. So I actually, you know, I ran an event company. I used to do balloon designs. I love doing photography. I fancy myself as a bit of an artist, bullshit artist. No joke. So I love creativity. I love flowers. I love colours. I love interior design. And I feel like I just have this, like, I get to have my cake and eat it too. So it's almost like the nerd getting to come to the Cool Kids Club.
Well, I'm glad you could join us at the Cool Kids Club today. And I also appreciate that someone finally, after we've been doing this podcast for 4 years, Sarah, that someone's finally identified that we are the Cool Kids Club.
It's not as cool as the 399 other places that I need to do this,
point.
But no, you guys certainly are. And I'm just going to say, like, it's very, very hard as a lawyer to get any kind of traction anywhere, but there's been a lot of people put a lot of faith in me. And it's been a ride, and I feel like I've ridden the wave, even the deep waves of darkness.
Yeah.
When I have to read that you can have 100 or two, sorry, you can only have one dance perception.
Yeah,
it's been a weird and yucky time to be in business. Even like while we've been recording this, the Queensland Premier has dropped that the Gold Coast is being stretched into the Brisbane like new zone of like you can only have 10 people at home.
And they've cancelled schoolies.
Oh, have they finally? Done that. I know they've been talking about it for weeks. And
they've cancelled schoolies week.
So it's just this changing atmosphere.
But it's okay. Let's just see if we can get the AFL in South Australia. I mean, you just carry on there. We're just gonna like try and nab the AFL just to piss the Victorians off. But we joke. But this is the nature of it. It's like, hang on a minute, what? And so I'm like literally going, okay, well, all right. So this morning,
yeah.
No, you can't actually have your wedding. But could their wedding be possible in 3 weeks' time? Maybe. What do you mean it's not frustrated? Because we don't know yet. Yeah. So that's a really awkward space to be as a solicitor as well. It is what it is. And people say, oh, well, how have you coped? It's like, well, I have, because I've been given broad shoulders to handle that. But when it's starting to even kind of play on my psyche, that's when you know it's getting heavy, man.
Well, we appreciate it. I think I speak for everyone who's come across you in the last 6 months that
in a good way. I don't think the people on the other side of really appreciate me being in existence.
But the wedding vendors side, the lack of bullshit, the willingness to help, and the willingness to pretty much answer calls from anyone who picks up the phone and tries to get in touch with you has been.
Oh, thanks, guys.
we really appreciate it because. It has been difficult, you know, Josh and I have tried before and I've tried to find a lawyer who would kind of work with the industry and and as you'd say, all these nuances of these relationships and understand the difficulties and the...
It's a tangled web. Kind
of it really is. So
I don't know of any event that will involve between 15 to 20 different suppliers. You don't. But thank you. Just toot my own horn just a wee bit. I'm up for a couple of Mumpreneur awards. I don't know.
Can we put that on our socials, Josh?
Don't worry, they're on my socials.
We'll give it a shout out. We'll link it in the show notes and
So somebody said, this sure makes it all worth it then, doesn't it? And I'm like, no, lawyers, we don't. Well, unless you're a raging narcissist, which, well, there goes 80% of the industry. We're all, that's a common trait in all of us. But what makes this worth it? Well, I don't know yet. Like somebody's like, oh, what lessons have you learned out of COVID? I don't know yet. The awards are going to be worth it? Probably not. But what is going to be worth it is the extraction of the knowledge that I have and the industry, for good or bad, might then have an information source that they can trust and yeah. But I have been very careful to make sure that I am not speaking on behalf of the industry at all. It is not my place. It is not my space. I'm staying well and truly in my own lane there. So there are far greater people that know weddings more than I do. But the legal side of it, yeah.
That's great.
Vote for me, People's Choice Award.
we can totally make that happen.
I don't even know if voting's closed.
Yeah, I voted when you linked it, so I'll have a look when we finish this up, and if it's still open, I'll put it in the show notes and give it a link.
That's
okay?
Because our contract says so. Josh, didn't read clause 82. No, it's true. There's no
question. Hey, give everyone the shout out for how they can get onto your. I actually don't know the name. What's the name of your contract thing? Are we calling it contract thing?
The contract thing. TM. Contract. Yeah. First, we're trying to go for the trademark there. Well, let's see if anybody's thought of that before. Okay, so look, at the moment, it's an online store that's going to be opening up on my website, www.hallettlaw.com.au. Please keep an eye on my Facebook page, which is Hallettlaw LLT. Hallett Law, you're actually going to see some rolling coverage about legislative updates there, but you will you'll see rolling coverage about which suppliers have been put onto the online store. Those bots take a lot of time for me at the back end to extract into the automation. At the moment, celebrants, wedding photographers and videographers are good to go in the, and it was a week, but we're looking at 2 weeks now. But yeah, you'll see that online store. But soon enough, once I've worked with Automio, we're going to see that whole portal shift over to what is Eventlaw, which will then be that space. All different kinds of templates, so letters of demand, model releases,
so great.
You know, Facebook membership terms, and you go amazing. In and you pay,
amazing,
and you get. So yeah,
love it.
Oh, I even did a. Sorry. You have finished. You're right. I'm not finished.
Take it away.
I even drew up a bot for when you want to run an online competition. On your Facebook page. So it's just like, yeah, I'm a little excited. Just don't get me wrong.
Super excited. Love it.
It is super excited. I'm just an excitable person as it is.
It's understandable. I'd be excited too.
Look at the life I'm leading.
Yeah, totally.
On Hindley Street too, so who knows what this hotel room will look like by the end of the night. Oh, God, I wish. God. I'm a mum of a 2-year-old. It's just my days are about over. All right, I'm going now.
You're going.
Cut me, Josh.
Catherine, I'm cutting you off. You've had enough. Just go and sit this one out, okay, mate.
You know, Sarah's going to be like the Sarah and Catherine show, right? Like, Josh.
Absolutely. Sorry, Josh.
It's all right. Everyone listens to me talk too much anyway. It's probably about time I shut up for a little bit.
That's so untrue, Josh. That's an outrageous statement.
Catherine, thank you so much for your immense wisdom and conversation today. And we'll talk to you real soon.
Pleasure. All right, then. See you later, guys. I actually got to go do some work now. Bye.
Bye.